we've been looking at Isaiah, and in a sense, I think what it's been like for us is a bit like I think taking off in a plane. We started the first week, we looked at Isaiah's calling in chapter 6, and it was kind of like he got this picture of the Lord, and then he was exposed in his sin, and that's like the taking off. But then the next week we saw something of God's bigger plan. As we were going up higher, we could see across the country, and we could see God's big plan for all that he was doing. Now today we're at 30,000 feet. And we're not looking down anymore. We're looking up, and all we can see is the glory of God. And he is awesome. Now, what I want to start by telling you is today is the best topic in the whole world that you're ever going to hear about, okay? So that's got you going, isn't it? You ready for that, everybody? We're talking about God. How about that? And he is so good. And today we're particularly talking about the glory of God. I'm going to break it up into a half a dozen points, and I'm just going to tell you roughly where I'm going, but don't worry, we spend most of the time in the middle. But the first point is just to say this: God is truly glorious. There's none like him. He's above all. The second part is to say creation and even human beings were made to glorify God. Then we're going to talk about the way that we share in his glory, but it's never our own. It's always a reflected glory. Then we're going to talk about how God saves people for his own glory, how Jesus has all the glory of God, and then we're going to finish just briefly talking about how should we live in light of this glory. But if I started by saying this, how good is God? He's the creator, he's the Lord of all, he's the Father. He is, now we use this word often, awesome, but God's awesome. He is great. He's above everything. There is no one like him. There's none like him. He's worthy of all praise. He has more wisdom. His wisdom is far and above anything we can imagine. His power is above anything we can imagine. He is above everything. He alone is King and Lord and ruler. And he's worthy of thinking about and praying to and worshipping for the rest of our lives every moment. And that would be awesome. His character is amazing. His actions, his way, his words, I mean, his world, everything is glorious. And everything we know is God's story. It's all about him. And so the greatest joy, and this is where I'll finish by saying this, the greatest joy we'll ever have, the greatest peace, the greatest blessing is from simply knowing who God is. Just knowing him. Because when you know him, everything is good. To know him as he really is actually to glorify him. Because he's so incredibly great that when you get just a glimpse of him, a glimpse of his character or one part of him, you'll glorify him. So God's glorious. That was point one. Point two is really talking about the heavens and the earth and people glorify God. And Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth." So the sky at night is sitting there praising and glorifying God. When you look over the beauty of the morning, the dew on the grass, everything, it's praising God. Nature bears witness to who he is. And if you ever sit in a beautiful place and see that beauty, you'll agree. God is glorious. You just feel it in your heart and you want to join in that praise. So the heavens and the earth were created to glorify God, and they do exactly that. Now human beings were created for his glory too. In Isaiah 43, Isaiah is speaking about the restoration of his people. God is going to bring them back, and he's going to restore them and renew them. And he says this in Isaiah 43 verse 5. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You see that all his children are being gathered to him, and he's saying, I created you individually and as a people for my glory. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Everything you do is about glorifying God. So God's glorious, creation's created for him, for his glory, and so are we. So we're at our best when we're glorifying God. And I'll say it again, to glorify God is just to know him. Point three is this. We share in his glory, but it's never our own glory. It is reflected glory. We don't actually possess the glory of ourselves. It shines from him and it bounces off of us. It's a bit like the moon is to the sun. You know, the moon is, if you go out on a full moon night, it's absolutely brilliant. It lights up the earth, and yet there's no light in the moon at all. The moon is just a big lump of cold rocks. But the sun, from 8 million miles away, is shining its light so brightly that it hits the moon, it bounces back to the earth, and it lights it all up. That's the sort of glory we have through God. His glory shines out of our faces, and it's an awesome glory. If you turned the light of the sun off, the moon would be a very desolate, cold, dark place. So, we have a glory like that. We don't own it. We don't create it. We can't even sustain it. But we receive it. As in, John says, we walk in the light. We walk in the light of his glory. And that glory is quite simply all God. And it's all about him. Okay, so the most amazing thing, I'd say it again, for us to do is to know him, because as we know him, we shine his glory, and our joy comes from that. And he doesn't share that glory with anyone as such. It all comes from him. So in Isaiah 48 verse 9, I'm going from 9 to 11, he says this, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to be cut off. Now, the first part, what he's saying here is, for the glory of my name, I don't destroy you. In other words, even though you haven't obeyed me, you haven't glorified me, I'm going to show you mercy and grace because that's who I am. So you're going to see something of my glory. I'm going to display my very character to you. I'll read it again. He says, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to cut you off. See, I have refined you. Though not of silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Now, what he's saying here is he's refining us through affliction, and we've talked about that before. He's transforming us. He's getting rid of the dross. He's making us new. Why is he doing that? For his glory. It says, I am refining you for my glory. He's reshaping us into the image of his son to make his glory clearer. In other words, imagine that God is looking at himself in a dirty mirror, and our reflection is very dirty and dim. And then his transformation is he's cleaning that mirror. And what does he see shining back at him? More and more of his own face, of his own glory. Does that make sense? And who is that glory in? It's in our faces as his glory shines off of us. So through hardships, particularly in afflictions, he's saying he's showing more and more of his glory in us. So we are not about ourselves as Christians. We're about him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. So in your body, glorify the Lord. In other words, because you were bought at that price, what are you going to do in your body? You're going to shine forth His glory. You're going to glorify Him. So we have this glory, but it's a reflected glory. Now, I want to just go back to the start of the Bible and just think about it for a minute, because a really interesting thing happened there is God created us in His image. And so our character and our being and everything was to shine forth something of who He was. And yet we were never meant to be God. We were made to glorify God, but not to be God. So He created us in His image, and that is to have love and compassion and grace. That's what He's like. So we were made to be like Him in His character, to display His glory. But we were never meant to be God in ourselves. We were meant to be co-regents, under God. But Adam and Eve were there in the image of God. And then the devil came to them and he made them this temptation. He said, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. Can you hear that? There's a bit of humor in there. They created the image of God, and He says, now, eat this fruit and you'll be like God. They could have said, we're already there, boy. But they never said that. Because what they wanted was something of the character of God. What the devil was selling was a lie, and saying, you can be better or equal to God Himself. Because although we reflect God's character in some ways when we live in His light and live in His image, all of the glory is His. And so He said in that verse I just read, for my own sake I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Because, you see, although we were made in the image of God, the mirror, if you stand in front of a mirror, you're here and you're real. And the mirror image is actually, it's not anything compared to what you are. And whilst we are in the image of God, we have some of His attributes, there's a whole lot about God that we are just not and never will be. For instance, eternal. I'm not eternal. About 1969, I came to be. Before that, I was nothing. I wasn't there. Didn't exist. You understand? God's eternal. We have a beginning. God is uncreated. We were created. God never changes. His character never changes. We change. God is all wise. Sorry to tell you this, I'm not all wise. I know you're surprised to hear it. Yeah? Yeah. There's some shocked faces. God knows and has planned everything. I don't know what I'm having for lunch. God has, and you know, God is all powerful. The only power we'll ever have is what God shares with us. God has complete independence. He is fully everything all on His own. We are not independent. We are completely reliant on Him every second of every day. In other words, what I'm saying is that whilst we are in the image of God, we're not God. And we're not fully like Him. In fact, we only reflect something of what He is. He alone is glorious. And in His grace and mercy, He has actually shared some of His nature with us, which is an incredible honor, really. But it's a reflected glory. So when a human being rebels, and we've all done that, what we're doing is basically seeking to be that part of God which only God is. We're seeking to live without Him, independently. Whereas faith is actually saying, I'm going to live relying on God, which is glorifying Him. Because I'm going to receive from Him. And so we can never boast in ourselves. We boast in Him because He is truly awesome. I'll put it another way. God is Creator, Lord, and Father. Okay? He alone is Creator. We are creatures. He is Lord. We're servants. He is Father. We're children. We actually can't create something out of nothing like God does. We can share in a bit of His creativity, but He alone is Creator. Otherwise, I challenge you this afternoon to either make it rain, create a cloud, everybody, or how about a new galaxy? I'd like to see a new galaxy, one a bit closer that we can have a good look at. Just go out and by your powerful word, speak it into creation. Yeah, sorry. God alone is creator. He alone is Lord, and he alone is ruling over all things. Okay? We live under his lordship. He alone is Father. He has true love and compassion and care, and he sustains us as a father. And in all of these, we take a little bit of him, but he alone is the God of glory. Can you see what I mean? Put a thumbs up, everybody. Yeah, you're getting that. So, he alone is glorious, and he alone is the great God forever. So when Adam and Eve and their children, which is us, sought our own glory, we lived under the pain of trying to build something ourselves which only God can give and we can receive. But God in his grace and mercy and his love, his very nature, he showed that by bringing salvation. But when he brought that salvation, this is my next point, even that salvation was for his glory. So I'm going to read from Ezekiel 36, verse 22. And he's talking about the salvation he's about to bring, the salvation that we know through the cross and through the coming of the Spirit. He says, "Therefore, say to the Israelites, to the house of Israel, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you've gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name that you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So he's saying, I'm doing all of this, which is your salvation, for my name's sake, for my glory. He will renew and restore his people for his glory to show how good he is. And how good is he? That's why a bit further down in verse 32, it says, he repeats what he said at the start. I want you to know that I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. I'm doing it for my sake, for my glory. God creates, he creates all of creation. He created us for his glory. It's all reflected glory that we have. And he saves us for his own glory. Do you know our lives are all about the glory of God? That's what we're all about. Now, he saves us through Jesus. And Jesus had all of the glory of God, unlike us. I'm going to read from John 17. And this is the prayer Jesus prayed the night before he was going to bring salvation to the world. He prayed this prayer in John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the glory you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I have with you before the world began." That's an awesome passage. Just, I'd encourage you to read that one again. And again, but Jesus is saying, now glorify me as I do, as I'm obedient to you, as I go to the cross. I've glorified you. You've given me all authority. This is eternal life, to know you, Father, to know you, the true God, and to know Jesus Christ. And now glorify me with the presence. This is something we could never say, could we? I could never say, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before the world began. Jesus was eternal. He was the glorious God right from the beginning. And so even as we are transformed in the image of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, we're not fully like him. He alone is glorious, as he has all the glorious, all the radiance, the character of God himself. So Jesus has all the glory of God. How shall we live? Do you know, to get to know God, to know him more and more. Yeah, just stick with that. Get to know him in his glory. Just read his word. But instead of what we often do is we listen to messages and we say, yeah, that's all good about God, but what is in it for me? Just stop for a second and go, what is it about God? Don't worry about me. Let me fall off the edge. I'm not important. Tell me something about you, God, because you are awesome. And I want to know you more and more and more. Because, you know, strangely enough, as you're doing that, you are glorifying him and you're getting to know him more. And you won't have to ask those questions. What do I need to do for you? You'll be doing them. Just read his word. Get to know him, as John says, in spirit and in truth. In other words, as he truly is, know him. Because when you know him, you'll worship him. I tell you, I've stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon, and that was creation praising God. You stand there, you cannot help but to glorify God. He is awesome. He made this. I tell you, when you get to know every little bit of his awesomeness, you'll worship, you'll glorify God. No one will have to say, now it's time to worship. You have to. There's none of that. We want to worship him because he is glorious. The best thing we can know, quite simply, is him. And by his Holy Spirit, he loves to reveal himself to you. Do you know that? Because he wants you to know you, because you're going to have all this joy just simply through knowing him. And then you'll be able to stand in awe and wonder and look at him. And then we know our place. But we don't need to know our place. We just need to know him. And live under him, the Creator, the Lord, the Father. Live in humble reliance on him. To constantly be saying, you're God. I'm not God. You're God. And you're everything. So he created us to live in the joyful simplicity of knowing and loving and worshipping him. I'll say that again because I like that sentence. God created us to live in the joyful simplicity of knowing, loving, and worshipping him. I'm going to finish by reading from Ephesians chapter 1. And these sentences that I'm about to read to you both finish with the praise of his glory. It says this, Ephesians 1:11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Our whole lives are to the praise of his glory. I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you that you are who you are, and pray that today you might reveal more of your wonderful character to us, of your glory, that we might sit in awe and wonder of you. And pray that our whole lives would be characterized by living in that awe and wonder. You alone are glorious. There is none like you. You alone are worthy of all praise. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.